Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling. Hello, and welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. I am Jordan Sparks, here today with Becky McNeely. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So this is our first time recording, and we don't have Academy.
Yeah.
So we both came with notes.
Yes.
About our topic today, because we didn't have to also prepare for our classes that we're teaching.
See guys?
Do you feel like your brain is exploding now that it's summertime with all kinds of ideas and things?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have this whole list of all of these things I want to get to. And I have to remind myself, one, I'm my own boss when it comes to my schedule for the most part, you know, so I can I don't have to rush to get everything done. But I do feel that push of like, it's summer. Everybody's happy and playing. I'm going to get all these things done, you know. But yeah, I have a lot on my list of stuff I'd like to get done this summer.
Yeah. Ever since summer break happened, I'm like, man, I have so many ideas about all of this stuff. And like, I'm rearranging so many things in my house and decluttering and organizing. And like, man, like, oh, it's because I'm not expending all of my mental energy every morning on school time.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you don't have any like creative juices after school?
No.
I do all my tasks, but I don't have that extra oomph of like, I want to redo my mantle.
Right.
You know?
No, I had a whole list of things just kind of in the back of my planner in the commonplace of things I wanted to get done during the school year. I think I maybe accomplished a handful.
Yeah.
But most of the time, by the time you spend your morning, you're managing chores and kind of the start to your day. And then you sit down and you teach for however long. And then you get everybody situated and then all the school stuff packed up. And then the next day, it's lunchtime.
Yeah.
So then you're eating and then you get everybody down for their quiet times. And then you have just a brief moment of decompression.
Maybe or housework.
And then, well, I sit at the table by myself in quiet for like, you know, 15 minutes, scarf down lunch. And then I'm prepping dinner. And then I'm doing all my chores, you know, getting all the other things done. And then before you know it, it's, you know, dinner time.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not really a lot of extra time. But our first week off of school, I've had this huge pile of mending. And it's all little things. Like this little mouse had her neck torn.
I had a pile of alterations I got to this week.
I had to make like a tiny stitch about like I'm putting my hands up like everybody can see. But it's
an inch.
An inch long, you know, where I just had to stitch it. It took me 5 minutes. And then poor June went without her Mimi mouse for months because I was like, just put it in the mending pile. I'll get to it. And then I busted through all of those in about, you know, a couple afternoons. And now the kids think that I have ample sewing time. They're like, can you make me this? Can you make me this?
I'm like, so actually, you're sewing. Please make me some costumes.
I'm not Jordan, so I can whip stitch a mouse neck, but I cannot create anything your little mind makes up. But
I have a pile of clothes that I got in a yard sales that were like so cheap that I couldn't pass up. And I'm right. Like, I'll alter that.
Yeah,
I'll make that fit me and I'll like it. But then the day never comes that I alter that. So I just have all these clothes that don't fit me, but I think are pretty fabric.
But you're like, oh, it's pretty. I can do
this. Fabric is pretty. I'll one day do that. So anyways, I just busted through a bunch of that. And then some of it, I was like, I don't need this.
Yeah.
I can now make the decision to be free of it.
I spent a quarter and now I can.
Yeah, I can now pass it on. Yeah. But our biggest accomplishment since school has been out has been Jared's office. He had an overflow of books. He ran out of bookshelf space, which is a problem for a person who really likes to read. There's just always not enough bookshelf space. So we have these industrial style bookshelves in his office that line along wall that are like the black pipe. What kind of pipe is that? Not plumbing pipe, but just black metal piping. And then metal, wooden boards, stained boards on top of the metal piping. And they were probably three or four shelves high. Mm-hmm. And we realized that the ceiling was tall enough we could go up another level. That's why Becky posted about this on her Instagram.
It was me that was like, listen to all the things I'm doing.
So we went up another level and gave him probably like 8 more feet of bookshelf out there.
Maybe more than that.
I think the middle section was 8 feet. And then I think there was like 2 4-foot sections up. So it's like up another layer here. And then he has his shoulder mount, the deer in the middle, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And then under that is a long one.
Please tell me you're getting a ladder.
We do have a ladder.
Do you?
And we had a ladder all along, but now it's necessary. And so he was like, now I actually do have to use the library ladder.
That's so fantastic. It's exciting.
And he, so he's been doing more YouTube videos. So I was like, we need to put the pretty books in the middle so that it looks smart, like a nice backdrop for YouTube videos. So we did that. We organized like the old, beautiful books in the center collections. And then the sides are more just like all the like other locations, wonderful Christian books that he has. And he alphabetized them all.
Like, oh my goodness.
Decimal system. So we have quite the family library. And I was thinking about doing it in the shelf, you know, by my piano downstairs.
Yes, you should.
But I'm like, do I really need to alphabetize those? I don't know. Some projects, I'm like, is this worth my energy? I know where all of these books are.
If you
have like a section of all the women's life application, and I have, we have like some history books there. You know, it's like more categories of sections.
That's where more accessible.
Yeah,
where you have it organized by category, not alphabetized.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyways, I did his closet.
Nice.
I did his closet and we did the books. He got a grandfather clock given to him from his uncle passed away, and the aunt gave him the grandfather clock that was theirs, but before them was his grandma's.
No way.
Grandma Vaughn, who you lived beside.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Becky, side note, Becky grew up, well, for a short period of time, lived beside Jared's grandma.
Yeah, and funny story, so I was 4 years old when we moved there. And we lived there for a couple of years. My dad was actually her pastor at the church down the street.
And Jared's grandpa was a deacon there.
Yeah. And one day I got out of the house. I wonder where else he gets it from. I snuck out of the house and I went over to Miss Bonnie's door and I knocked on her door and I said, would you like to play with me? And she knew who I was because, you know, she saw me. It was a little church. She's like, I know exactly who this little girl is.
That she lived there?
No.
Oh, you were just hoping a neighbor would
want to
play.
Somebody might want to play with me.
Yeah.
And so I walked over and knocked on her door and was like, do you want to play with me?
You picked a good door.
I did. Mm-hmm. I did. Of all the doors on the street, I picked a good one. And she was like, sure. So she comes in and she calls my mom. She goes, do you know that Becca's at my house? And my mom's like, no, I didn't even know she was out. She's like, well, she asked me if I wanted to play. Is it okay if she hangs out for a little bit?
That's so sweet. And she was like, can she stay and play?
Can she stay? And my mom was like, sure. Mm-hmm. And she was in a season where she had a 2-year-old. And then my brother was, I think, 6. And my sister was like 9 or so. And so she's like, yeah, if you've got the 4-year-old, that's great.
She knew that wants to play with my daughter.
She knew who Bonnie was.
Yes.
Yeah. You know? So I stayed and played with her. I still have some things that Bonnie gave me when we moved.
That's sweet.
But I would sit at her. I would sit in her living room and play. She had these like little porcelain cats, and I would pet them like they were real cats. Mm-hmm. She got down the Barbies, which is funny. She saved a bunch of old Barbies, and she would get them down, and they used to be, I think, Marcia's.
That is so
cool.
And
she's like, I keep these toys for when my grandchildren come to visit. Well, her grandchildren were Kim and Katie and Jared.
Yeah.
She's like, so when they come to visit, I get these toys out. So I played with the same toys that Jared was playing with. Didn't know Jared, didn't know Marcia, any of them. Well, then later, years later, when we moved back down here, we reconnected and figured out.
Yeah.
I think Brandon and Jared met because Christ Church was at the BCM. And then we
rolled
all these pieces together. And I had actually visited Bonnie in the nursing home right before I got married. I found out that she was still down here.
Yeah.
I was like, I have to go see Miss Bonnie. And she remembered me. And it was sweet. We were little buddies.
Yeah.
It was very sweet. I went over all the time after that. And we'd bake cookies together. And she'd let me clean her house. My cleaning obsession started young.
So I thought there was something with you and a broom in Miss Bonnie's house.
She had this. And I actually have the broom now. It was more of like a mob situation. It was like a yarn broom, you know? And I loved the broom. Mm-hmm. It was so much fun.
That is so
So
sweet.
Then when I went to visit her in the nursing home, she's like, I still have that broom. Would you like it?
Was Woody alive then or had he passed
away? No, he passed
away. Okay, so she was just living alone in that house, which is so sweet to think about. Like this widow woman who is very involved in the church. Like she's a church librarian for a long time, which is cool. I want to be a church librarian.
Yeah.
I have a library here when I'm an old woman.
Yeah.
But she just was welcoming to a little girl. And I just think that's really cool. Jared's family has a really cool legacy of faith, and Woody was the deacon there, you know, and when he passed away, or no, maybe when he was no longer a deacon, I guess, or old and wasn't doing that at the time, he passed on his deacon's ring, which I didn't even know was a thing, like a deacon's ring.
Yeah.
He passed it on to Jared's uncle, Jan, her daughter, their daughter, Jan's husband, because he was becoming a deacon. And it's just really cool. Just a legacy of really cool people who love the Lord. So
yeah, he's so cool.
Anyway, why did we start talking about that?
We're talking about libraries.
Oh, what we're doing right now, maybe.
Right now. I forgot where it started.
I don't know either.
But speaking of libraries, before we talk about what we're actually going to talk about today, you'll be very excited to know, do you remember, and listeners, do you remember, like 2 years ago, year or two, something like that, we were recording in my little old hot tub hut situation that's in our backyard, and we were dreaming about what one day this could be. So Brandon and I got away for a weekend for our birthday this last weekend. And so, of course, we had hours to just talk and dream and plan and think, you know.
For your brain to work uninterrupted.
For our brain to work on brains to work uninterrupted. It was great. And he came up with the most beautiful situation or idea for that. We're going to build an outdoor library room. We're gonna take the roof off and put, like, make a greenhouse kind of a situation where you have, like, just glass or plexiglass on the roof so all the sunshine comes in. And we're going to put flooring down. Mm-hmm. We're going to make it, seal it off so it's, like, weather safe.
Okay, that's what I was like. I'm like, I'm concerned about the books.
Okay. I was concerned for the books, too, when he first pitched it to me. He's like, no, his brother Luke flips houses and is very, very handy. So he was texting Luke back and forth. He was like, what about this? What about this? You know? So we're going to come up with a blueprint and a plan for it. But we're going to turn that into an outdoor library.
I wonder if you could put a mini split in there, like a really small mini split, like an air conditioner situation, a really small mini split.
We talked about that.
So, or something like that, so that you could keep it temperature regulated.
Yeah, that's what we talked about, because I told them, I said, for the books, they need to be, there needs to be some kind of regulation.
There's power out there, right?
Oh, yeah, there's power out there. There's technically water, because there used to be a hot tub, but we're not going to put a sink or anything weird out there, but.
That would be cool.
But he also had this idea to put this little counter so that Jack can draw, because Jack loves to draw.
Oh my gosh.
So dreamy.
You could make it be / art studio.
Yes.
Keep an easel in there.
Yes.
And you could go out and paint and read a book. The riches.
You know?
The riches.
I know.
Your children's childhood.
I'm so excited.
No. I'm going to come and spend some time. Like, can I have my mom break and just come and paint a picture and read a book?
Yeah.
I'll
back. Watch you in through the garden gate.
Yes.
Come on in.
That's amazing. Oh, anyways. It was because of the grandfather clock. So Jared got a grandfather clock, which kind of spurred the reconstruction of everything in his office. But getting so much stuff done, reorganizing, it's been amazing.
Good.
Yeah. And reading, it wasn't yesterday, it was the day before yesterday where it rained all afternoon.
Yes.
Me and the boys in Proby have been reading Lee Pike Ridge out loud.
I haven't heard of that.
It's by Indy Wilson.
Okay.
And I started reading it. We finished the first Harry Potter. I told you we had the illustrated copy of it. It's just beautiful. We finished it. And then I was like, before we get into the second Harry Potter, we need to read Lee Pike Ridge because I borrowed it from JC and we've had it far too long. So I'm like, we've got to read this. So we did like the first chapter or two and I was like, meh, are we going to keep going with it? Because I wasn't feeling captured. But Ransom was. He was like, I'm really into it. Let's keep going. I was like, okay, for your sake, let's do at least one more chapter. In that one more chapter, it turned so, like, it caught us so hard that we read for like 3 hours straight that afternoon. My throat was sore. I was like, someone else has to read for a while. My throat is so sore because we couldn't stop. It is such a good book. It's like Hatchet meets The Goonies meets Journey to the Center of the Earth.
No way.
Yes. So he like gets trapped under like an underground cave. It's 11-year-old boy and he gets trapped in this underground cave and he's like trying to find his way out, but there's treasure hunters involved.
Oh my gosh.
But I don't know if you would like it. There's a dead body. He finds a dead body.
Oh.
Spoiler and warning, caution to Becky. There is a dead body. Okay. But other than that, it's great. I mean, that isn't scary. It's just like my boys were like, wait, what? It's the stuff like that that really gets my sons. They're like, wait, there's a dead body?
Yeah.
What happened? You know, like they want to know what happened. And so there is like some intense moments. So,
you know, there's been a few intense moments in Wing Feather.
Okay. Yeah. That's
and
true.
I've handled
You've been
it.
Okay.
Although I will say I cheated the other night because our rule is I don't read it without the kids.
Yeah.
I cheated a little bit. We ended a chapter where, I don't want to give a spoiler, but someone that you wouldn't think stabbed somebody stab somebody.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like the end of the chapter.
Yeah. And you're like, what?
And they were like, we have to keep reading. And I was like, we actually really super have to go to bed.
Yeah.
Like, it is.
Daddy will be mad. Daddy will be mad.
Brandon's like, they have to be in bed at this time. And I'm more of the parent who's like, we can read for nine more minutes. And he's like, please put the children to bed.
Yeah.
So yes, I was being respectful of that. And I was like, no, Daddy said you need to be in bed at this time. You need to go to bed. And so then the next morning they woke up like, can we read? Read, please. Yeah. We got to find out.
Yeah. So that's just another thing about summer break that's been amazing. It's like, let's sit on the couch for 2.5 hours.
Yeah. Because we can.
Because
we can.
Yeah. I am currently reading 3 books at the moment at the same time. Like my morning book, my afternoon book, and my before bed book. Praise the Lord.
Oh,
yes. It's been awesome. So we actually are here today to talk about coffee.
Yeah.
Which I'm very excited about.
But coffee and books go well together.
They pair so well.
So this turned into coffee and books.
Yeah. Becky and I and JC, you guys know JC, we have this ongoing real sharing situation. Anytime we see things about bookstores and coffee shops, it's just, it's our love language. Mm-hmm. And it's Becky and I's vacation mode.
Yes.
We must have. You got a sticker?
I got a sticker from
Denmark. I didn't know they did have a sticker. So
I saw them and he was like, hey, babe, you want a sticker for your cup?
Yes.
Like, yes, so, I do.
She lifted up her cup and showed me. Okay, so remember a month ago whenever Jared and I went to the movie premiere? Plug. My friend Caleb and his brother Kyler, they just put out a movie called Just One More, and it's now on Angel Studios.
Oh, okay.
So support them, support that movie. It's an amazing Christian movie. It's about addiction. So it's not to watch with kids, but it is like a very amazing film. So we were in Franklin for the premiere and went with them the next morning to this amazing bakery. Mm-hmm. What was it called?
Perrin.
So if you're in the Franklin, Tennessee area, please go to Perrin because it just makes your heart sing.
Yes.
And then there's Landmark Booksellers right down the road. So we and I have this pairing of coffee, amazing cup of coffee with going to browse through a bookstore. And JC sent us a reel of like, what was it? Like the millennials.
What was it? He was like dancing with a cup of coffee.
Iced coffee
like,
going through.
Just in heaven, yeah. Basically going through a bookstore.
And I wrote back, it makes all the endorphins release. every good feeling that you can have.
If you're ever in Franklin, though, you have to go to Perrin, which is short for perennial. So if you need to know how to spell it, because I saw it and it was green, like their thing was green. I was like, I wonder if it's short for perennial. So I looked it up and that is why they named it that. But it's named, the coffee shop is Perrin, and then the bookshop is literally right across the street called Landmark Booksellers. And they have like signed first editions. I looked on their website. The most expensive thing they have in store is $10,000.
Wow. What was it?
I don't remember what it was because I didn't actually, I looked up after.
Yeah.
I wonder what the most expensive thing is there. I took a picture of the map of the Battle of Franklin that posted on the wall, and they had like the bullet shells and stuff. And Brandon and I stood there for a minute and just looked at it, and I was like, you know what's crazy is to think that those bullets could have killed somebody. Like that exact bullet could have killed somebody.
Yeah.
Because they just found them in the field.
Yeah.
It's like, well, it just kind of gives you the, I don't know, like the history stuff.
Yeah.
It's just really cool.
Yeah.
Kind of gives you like a very sobering kind of moment. But we learned a lot about history and stuff there, and then the bookshop itself was just dreamy and wonderful, and it didn't have a lot of like poor quality books. A lot of them were just very good books.
Amazing.
I did not buy the entire Emma M. Lyon series, but I was very tempted to.
Would have loved
very tempted to.
So actually, Perrin is what made me interested in learning to make some coffee syrups.
Mm-hmm.
Because whenever I was there, I had some kind of I think it was like a cinnamon roll latte of some sort, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then and they were saying that they made house-made syrups. And I was like, ooh, I want to make a Sparks house-made syrup.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started making some syrups. I've made a couple so far, and they're delicious. What latte did you have when you were there?
I had the orange marmalade.
Oh, my.
And it was amazing.
I still have some jars of orange marmalade that I made.
You could probably make.
Was it amazing?
Marmalade syrup. It was so good. Every time I go to like a craft coffee shop, I try, my typical go-to is just like either an iced lavender latte or an iced caramel latte. And that's just what I typically get.
How you say caramel.
Caramel.
I say caramel.
Caramel.
Gets
stuck in the back of your throat.
It does.
Caramel.
A little gurgly. A little gurgle too.
I will say though, I've always just called it caramel.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know why.
It's beautiful.
It's just what I've heard.
Because you're pretty.
But anytime I say, I can't say caramel and feel like a normal person. Like, it makes me...
Your jaws look weird when you do it.
Yeah. I feel like I have marbles just rolling around in my mouth, you know? And so I'm like, I can't say it that way. So I say it how I normally do. Yeah. And sometimes people look at me funny. I'm like, I know, but I can't say it the other way. I'm so sorry. Yeah.
So anyways, you normally get a...
But I normally get caramel or lavender. But if I go to a craft coffee shop, I want to get like their specialty.
Yeah,
like if they have something special, I want to try that. And I've found so many good coffee flavors that way because there's things where you're like, that's not going to be good.
Yeah.
That's
or I would have not thought. I would have never thought orange marmalade for a coffee.
Orange marmalade would not have been.
Yes, that sounds, I want to try that.
Mm-hmm. And it was very good. The pairing of the fruity with the coffee.
Did you get it hot or iced?
Iced.
Okay.
Unless it's super cold outside, and even when it's cold, I always make iced.
Yeah. I like iced coffee a lot too. But sometimes, like a day like this, I ran out of time, so I did iced. But on a rainy, dreary day, I like hot.
If I have time to sit down and drink
yes.
the coffee while it's hot, then it matches the mood, then I'll get hot. But for the most part, I just drink iced because it's going to get cold.
Yeah, I know.
So I might as well just start off with it cold and then it doesn't affect the flavor.
Right.
And I don't have to try to heat it up, you know,
because
we don't have a microwave. So.
Yeah. Do you have a frother? I always pour my coffee into a frother to warm it back up.
I have like a regular frother, but not one that heats and froths.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's attached to the
mine's
side.
Mine's like a milk frother, so it heats and froths, and I just pour my whole whatever's left in there.
Mine is like a little, it clicks out from the side of the coffee maker.
So it just froths.
So it just froths it. Yeah. It doesn't heat it up.
Okay.
But yeah, once you figure out, I was thinking about this last night as I was writing my notes out. Once you figure out how to make a simple syrup, which it's called simple syrup because it's so simple.
Mm-hmm.
But once you figure that out, really the world is at your fingertips
really
with coffee. And you can do so many different flavor combinations. Even if you just make sometimes I've made just a few different ones just to keep in the fridge. And if you're not a coffee person, you can add it to tea.
Yeah.
The same syrups you can add to tea. I've added it to lemonade for the kids.
Or cocktails.
Or cocktails. Mm-hmm. That's a good idea too.
Or like ice cream topped.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a syrup, but I mean, you could still put it on.
It's a good idea.
Yeah. If you were doing like an orange marmalade syrup, you could add it like to an ice cream topping. It'd be yummy.
After we left Perrin, I looked up how to make an orange marmalade
latte. It's so funny that you had the exact same day that I had. Like, you went to that bookstore and the coffee shop and then had the same reactions.
I have to figure out how to make
Hey, chat.
How can I don't go it, but same thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I looked up and I did find, I have not tried this recipe yet, but if you make a simple syrup and then you add the peels of 3 oranges, like they said, like the real orange.
Yeah.
It's not like the yellowy ones, but like find like the orangest oranges you can find. Take 3 of the peels off and simmer the peels.
The whole peel.
The whole peel in the syrup. Then,
ooh, I'm going to do that.
Like an orange one. I also saw people say if you're going to make like a honey simple syrup, instead of, so first, Becca, to do a simple syrup, it's literally equal parts sugar and water. That's it.
Yeah. Or honey and water.
Or honey and water. So then you just bring it to a boil and then turn it down to a simmer and just let it simmer for a little bit until you get the right.
Yeah. How long do you simmer?
At least 45 minutes.
Okay. I usually do like 20 or 30.
Okay.
But it's probably better to do longer. I mean, I usually do 20 or 30, but then I let it sit there for hours and seep.
That's probably, yeah. Probably, 30 to 45 minutes of like actual simmering, but then just let it be for a while. But I've done that you can make lavender syrup with dried lavender buds. I learned not to use the flowers. You're not supposed to use the flowers. Just the buds.
Are the flowers bitter?
I don't know. I've never used them because I was told not to. So
I followed the rule.
I followed the rule.
Yeah. I have done cinnamon sticks in mine. So I've done it with honey and I've done it with brown sugar and water. So either honey and water or brown sugar and water.
Okay.
And then after you bring it to a boil, then I put 2 cinnamon sticks in and then let it be for a long time.
It's just your
cinnamon. And then whenever I put my simple syrup into a jar in the fridge, I leave the cinnamon sticks in there. So it just keeps getting more and more cinnamony, which I like, but if you don't like a potent cinnamon, you may not want to leave them in.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the ones that I've made so far. But one that I want to try is a strawberry one for summer, which you like mull up your strawberries in there and then strain them out.
You can also just use strawberry tops.
What?
If you've cut
with the green or no?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, okay. Green. No, if you cut off the strawberry tops, you can. So we went to we did not pick strawberries this year, and I'm pretty sure we've missed the window. But a couple years ago, when I went and grabbed some fresh strawberries, and then you cut the tops off to do jam, I saw something that was like, save your tops. So I saved the tops and did a sorb with it, and it was delicious.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And you can do that with peach pits, too. You can even do jam with peach pits. You can do peach pit jam.
What?
Yeah. Or, you know, like whenever you're doing your peaches, there's like some meat still.
Yeah.
Peach
pit. Yeah.
You save all your pits and you can even make jam with it. I made jam, peach pit jam once. And or a syrup, you know.
Yeah. Ooh, I wonder if a peach coffee.
Yes, it would be. It would be amazing. But anyways, so doing these syrups really opens up a lot of fun variations that you can do with coffee. And I like making a good coffee for myself because it saves me so much money.
Oh, no.
Because I want to have a very good cup of coffee. I love it. It's like a hobby for me to have a delicious cup of coffee. But it also is like a hug to give to someone else if they come to your house. You're like, here, you want me to make you an iced latte? Want me to make you a brown sugar cinnamon latte? And they're like, of course. You love me.
Yeah.
And so you can just give them some love and it's easy. It's like an easy hospitality situation.
Yes.
It's like, come over and I'll give you a nice drink. And it makes everyone feel comfortable to have a drink in their hand. That's just hospitality tip 101. I don't know why, but it makes people feel more comfortable if they have a drink in their hand.
Yeah.
So that's a great
and if you share. If you can master syrups, and then all you have to do is keep coffee, tea, or lemonade on hand.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got instant hospitality. The times I've come over and you've been like, would you like a drink? Would you like this fancy coffee I made or this fancy, you know?
Does it make you feel like the event is or the time together is more fun?
Oh, absolutely.
See, I think it is too. It's just more fun if you have a fun drink to drink.
Absolutely.
And Jared taught me that. Okay. Jared taught me that. I didn't know this until I was married to him, that a drink makes everything more fun. And I don't just mean alcoholic. I just mean like a drink of any sort that's delicious makes anything more fun. Because we would be going on a road trip somewhere and traveling, and he'd be like, let's get a drink for the road. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I just drank some water. I don't need a drink. Like, why do I need to bring something in the car?
Yeah.
And he was like, no, it's more fun. Like, let's stop. We get our drink. And then we travel. And then we have this fun thing to do while we're traveling, which is drinking a drink. I don't know why, but it makes a road trip far more fun if you have a fun beverage to drink.
Yeah. When Brandon and I were dating, we were, you know, we lived 7 hours away. And so, and like we said in our episode, we would just drive back and forth every single weekend, you know? And we were leaving one time. We actually drove from Missouri to Illinois together. I think that might have actually been after we were already married. But he was like, okay, let's stop and get a drink. And I was like, what do you mean?
Mm-hmm.
He was like, well, we're going to stop at Quick Trip and get slushies.
Right.
I was like, why? Why? I got water before we left.
Yeah,
you know?
I got water.
And he's like, that's not fun. He's like, oh, okay. Yeah, all right. I guess we'll stop and get slushies. And now we have to get secret slushies because they have dye.
Oh, yeah.
I don't do dye for the kids. So
we only disrupt our own systems.
So we only give ourselves to the kids, you know.
Yeah.
No, but we'll do like little, you know, secret slushies sometimes. But having a fun drink really does make everything more fun.
It does.
And hospitality too. I shared this on Instagram a little bit ago, but we were getting ready to have small group over and I set out lemonade and I set out two different syrups. I had blueberry syrup already made and some lavender syrup made. And so I just set those out right along with it and it was fun. It automatically was
fun.
Just more fun because there was syrup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was just something extra and it takes no time at all.
Right.
It's to just toss the sugar or honey and the water in the pan and then whatever flavorings.
Yeah.
Is that right? Did
I
say that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It sounded weird after I said it. Right. There were a couple, I looked up last night some other like flavor pairings. Blackberry basil.
Yes. I could go for
that.
That'd
be good.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like I had a blackberry basil mojito before that was good.
Yeah. And you can make a basil syrup using fresh basil from your garden or you can do a mint. I just did a brown sugar one where I put brown sugar in instead of regular sugar or honey. And then I added just a little bit of cinnamon and a little, like tiny little bit of nutmeg.
Mm-hmm.
And it made it like almost like a, kind of similar to like a chai coffee.
Mm.
But it was like brown sugary. It was really good. And then honey, one thing I want to try is using different types of honey.
Ooh.
You can use like wildflower honey. They have orange blossom honey you can get. And so I wondered if the orange blossom would be similar to that black
like
marmalade.
Different notes, probably, mm-hmm. a flavor in there, which is cool.
Yeah.
So what are your daily coffee habits? Or do you have daily? I'm not going to impose that on you.
No, I do.
But what are your coffee habits? And then what is your, like, frequent cup of coffee?
Well, my coffee habits are my frequent cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. But I drink, so I always make it. I make like a pitcher of iced coffee. My coffee maker it's just like a regular coffee maker, but it has different settings to where you can actually, you can brew it specifically for iced coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a game changer. So if you don't have that, I used one of those iced coffee makers before, like the little carafe things where you can put the grounds in and you like let it infuse overnight.
So like cold brew. So that's cold brew.
That's what I mean. Yes, that's what I used to do. So I used to do cold brew, and then I got this maker, this coffee maker, or we were given this coffee maker where you can do.
Yeah. Isn't it a Ninja one?
Yes.
I think mine's a Ninja one too.
Yeah. It was a gift, and we are very, very, very thankful because it's divine. But I brew it for iced coffee, and I just make a pitcher at a time. Mm-hmm. And then I put collagen in mine, so there's a little bit of a protein boost. And I feel like it doesn't disrupt my blood sugar as much. I'm not diabetic, but I feel like it just keeps everything, you know, a little bit more normal. And I use a high-protein collagen. So I like to you know, girl math my way out of it. By
Well, this is actually good for me.
I'm actually having a protein shake. So there's 20 grams of protein.
I'm usually very benefiting myself from this.
Fine. My skin's going to be happy.
Right.
But so I'll put that in there. And then I used to make it whatever flavor, like go ahead and add the sugar and stuff so I could just pour and go. But recently I've been wanting to mix up the flavors more. Mm-hmm. So I have the syrups in the fridge and I make it unsweet basically, but I put the milk in, and then I put just like a little bit of half and half just to kind of make it creamier but not add like a gajillion calories to it. And then just keep that in the fridge, so in the morning I wake up, have breakfast, and then immediately coffee, like immediately after.
Nice.
And then just sip on it throughout the day.
I frequently do iced coffee almost every day. Not every day. I'm not like a have to have it coffee situation. And I actually prefer to do less caffeine. So I'll, like when I buy 7 weeks coffee, which I really like, and I know you do too.
Yes.
I don't know if my code is expired. So maybe I'll get a code.
My code's on the Keeping Home Instagram. I think it might just be Keeping Home.
Okay. If mine's not expired, it's Jordan 2026. But anyway, if I buy 7 weeks coffee, like I bought their Christmas Spirit one and it's amazing, but I bought that specifically for Christmas. But for like daily, I like their decaf coffee. But I actually switched a while back to mushroom coffee, and I've been using Everyday Dose. And I've maybe been using that for a year or more now. And that is my most frequent if I'm just making a cup of iced coffee.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the Everyday Dose because it is more of an instant type option. So you fill your cup about like I use the pint mason jars. Pint, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pint mason jars. And you fill it like a third of the way up with water and then put a scoop of the Everyday Dose in, and then you use a little frother and froth it up. And then I fill it up like half the way up to half marker with my like the next third, I guess, maybe with half and half, and then whatever syrup that I've made. And if I don't have a syrup made, I just use maple syrup, and then froth it up again, and then ice the rest of the way.
And
it's delicious. I didn't really like Everyday Dose.
There was, I forget when it was, we were coming over to either podcast or hangout or something, and you had made one.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't tell me it was mushroom coffee, right? Because everybody knows it's mushroom coffee, right?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't tell me it was mushroom coffee. You're just, do you want an iced coffee? And I was like, absolutely, I do. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it was mushroom.
No.
Like, it doesn't taste mushroomy.
No, because it still has coffee in it.
Right.
But it also just has the functional mushrooms in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like it. I can't tell if it actually does medicinal things. I don't know. I like to make myself believe maybe it's really calming and makes me release, you know, my brain really sharp. I don't know.
Is there a limit to how many mushrooms you can have in a day?
I don't know.
Like, is there like a mushroom daily intake? Because I use the Flame City protein powder for my
mushrooms,
which also has functional mushrooms.
Yeah.
So I don't know, like,
how many mushrooms?
How many mushrooms is appropriate?
I mean, I feel like those kind of mushrooms you can have unlimited. Psychedelic, there's definitely a limit. Bell mushrooms, unlimited. Baby bells, however much you want. But I do. I love the mushroom coffee. I'm all about it. Supposed to be like gut health, you know, all the things. Who knows if it actually does that, but I like the flavor a lot.
How much caffeine is in it? Do you know?
Less than a normal cup of coffee.
Okay.
I think it's like as much as green tea, maybe. I don't remember.
Okay.
And there's like a chart on the back.
Okay.
And they actually have a matcha situation too, like a functional mushroom matcha that's really fantastic also. So if you're wanting to do some experimenting into some mushroom coffees, Everyday Dose is pretty good. I like it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, how about if you're feeling fancy? If I'm feeling
fancy. If you're feeling fancy and it's like a Saturday morning and you have nothing to do and you're like, I'm going to spend some time making myself a really fantastic cup of coffee, what would you do?
Maybe I'm too plain Jane.
You're like, the same thing I do.
I would do the same thing I do every day. But it's because the what I want my everyday coffee to be like is not just a regular coffee.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not because I'm plain Jane.
See, I'm kind of like that.
It's because I'm a little fancy.
It's because I'm a diva every day.
Yeah.
It's, I'm a happy princess every day.
I want a homemade lavender latte daily.
Even when I'm camping.
Correct.
I do.
I do.
The same. I bring my iced coffee.
I do take my iced coffee camping, and it is typically a lavender latte.
So I'm just fancy every day. If I'm going to be fancy, if I'm like home, going to be like sitting on the front porch in the morning, and I'm like, I just want to sip something amazing, I will do hot. And I will like froth some milk for the top and do a sprinkle of cinnamon or something and use the syrups and do the whole nine yards. But it's really not that much different than my everyday situation. But it's probably going to be hot and in a beautiful mug and that kind of thing.
Oh, in a pretty mug.
Yeah.
In a pretty mug.
I'll give it a fizz. Okay. I think we've already talked about the syrups that we liked. I wanted to mention one creamer that I do frequently whenever I'm hosting. I did this a lot whenever we would have small groups and ladies Bible or ladies book club at my house. And it's just like a very easy creamer. And I have this certain carafe that I always use for creamer at my house. And I put a can of sweetened condensed milk and then either heavy cream or half and half, whatever. If you want to make it delicious, you use heavy cream, in my opinion. If you're not worried about the calories and you're just like, I want this to be creamy and amazing, I use half and half. And then that's the base. And then you can flavor that if you want, like with vanilla or almond or cinnamon or whatever. But it's basically very simple, the sweetened condensed milk and then your cream or half and half.
And we don't warm it up or anything?
Just stir it up.
You just stir it up.
Yeah, and it's a great creamer. So if you're wanting like, feels like a store-bought sweetness of a creamer, but just a couple of ingredients, then that's a great option. It's very easy and good.
Did you say it's just like equal parts?
No.
Or how much do you...
This is the problem with me.
I know.
This is the problem with me.
I try to get you to estimate
a little bit. Okay. I put the jar in that carafe, and then I probably do 2 cups of heavy cream.
Okay.
So it makes, the thing is, it's like a this tall, it used to be a wine bottle and someone has made it into a carafe.
It's about a foot tall is what she's showing.
It's about like the size, I'm doing my hands again.
I know.
It's about the size of a wine bottle that has had the top cut off and made into a beautiful vessel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so probably 2 cups.
Okay.
And this one gets milk and then you can go crazy with how you want to get it fancy or not after that. One more thing that I do that is fun is if I am bringing something for a baby shower or a ladies something or like our trivia night, even I did this, I'm making a big batch of iced coffee to bring.
Yeah.
And it's just, I do it for our fall market too. And it's just fun and sweet and good.
Go ahead. What flavor did you bring to the fall market this last year? Is that what it was?
Okay. So I start out and I make venison for dinner's recipe for dulce de leche.
Okay.
And it's very easy. I think you've made it before, haven't you? Or no?
Yes. My only hiccup with it is she says to let it simmer for like 20 minutes, 25, something like that. And I have to let it simmer way longer.
Hmm.
I don't know. Do you feel like it does?
I don't every time. I just look at it. Okay. So I don't know. But it probably has to do, you have an electric stove and I have a propane fire stove. So I would feel like things cook differently.
She probably has a propane one too.
Yeah, I don't know. Whenever we moved to our new house and I now had a flame, I was like, man, peppers and onions saute really fast.
Yeah.
As opposed to whenever we had, you know, just like a flat top.
Yeah, I've got a glass top.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like it has to simmer a little bit. So if you do look up venison for dinner's recipe, it is fantastic. I love it. But you do have to just keep an eye on it until it turns the right color that you want.
And she does say, like, put some spoons in the freezer and get them ready so that you can test it to make sure it's like a caramel consistency. Because when it's hot, it's going to be more liquidy than whenever it's cooled down.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have your frozen spoon, you can dip it in there and see, like, oh, okay, that's thick like a caramel now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the dulce de leche, it's very simple. There's only a few ingredients and you just simmer down milk for it. You're basically sweetened condensing your own milk.
Yeah.
That's basically, yeah. But it makes like an amazing dulce de leche. And so I start with that and then I brew coffee and then I add heavy cream and I'm putting it in like a gallon or however many you want to make. You know, you can scale this to whatever you want, but the base of it is brewed coffee, dulce de leche, and heavy cream. And
That's basically, and milk. I do normal milk. It's not, when I'm making a large thing of iced coffee, it's not all heavy cream.
There's that's a lot
too.
Of
You're like,
cream.
whoa, gives you a bellyache. No, there's normal milk in there too. So that's the big batch of iced coffee that I make, like an iced latte. And so it's just like a mass amount of ice. And then I always have like a little thing of ice beside it and a scoop and a clear cup and a lid and a straw. So it's like a fun little iced coffee station.
Something I want to do when I have much more time and brain space is to, and this really wouldn't take that much, but to figure out which flowers are edible and then freeze them in ice cubes.
Stop it. That would be amazing.
Wouldn't that be beautiful? Yes. And like a little glass of iced coffee or lemonade or something like that. Just
a frozen flower.
A frozen little beautiful violet.
Wouldn't that be gorgeous?
Yeah. Oh, violets. We have violets.
Yeah.
Yeah. That dandelion, I feel like, wouldn't quite. That one
wouldn't give you the same vibe.
No.
Look at a weed in my cup.
Not quite. I know they're edible, but.
Okay, I have one more category that I want to discuss with you, Miss McNeely, and that is coffee alternatives that we like. So teas, whatever, like warm hug in a mug, but not coffee.
So I am a coffee and tea. Like, you have people who are like one or the other, and I am definitely a both person.
Okay.
So I usually start my day with coffee, and I kind of sip on that until lunchtime, and then I cut myself off at lunchtime, because if I have it in the afternoon, I'm old now, so I'm wired at nighttime.
Do you mean that you're drinking more than one cup, or you're just sipping on it?
No, I'm just sipping on it.
Right, I understand. Yes.
Yeah, just sipping on it. Like, this is what I poured this morning, and I'm a third of the way through.
And I might put that in the fridge and finish it tomorrow.
Correct.
And it drives Brandon.
Yes.
Bonkers.
Our husbands both make fun of us for that.
If we get a coffee from like Starbucks or something, we'll drink it for 3 days straight sometimes.
We were walking around Franklin this last weekend and I'm like sipping on my coffee, like taking tiny baby bird sips, you know. And Brandon finished his coffee, I think, before we hit the bookshop. His was gone or close to. And he's like, do you not like your coffee? I was like, no, this is the best coffee I've had in my life.
Yeah. It was the best coffee I've had in my life.
It was legitimately the only other one that came even close was, I think it was like a blackberry something kind of situation in a coffee shop in downtown Louisville that is now closed down and I can't get the recipe for. So it's very sad. But I have that also
in my brain watermark
as a memory. But I was like, no, this is the best coffee I've ever had. He's like, you're not drinking. I was like, oh, I am. I'm savoring it. Like, I will drink this. I will sip on this all morning. And then I did. But so I'll sip on coffee all morning. And then after lunchtime, I have afternoon tea. And then sometimes before bed, I'll have another cup of tea. But I like Earl Grey.
Interesting.
And I'll drink that. I'll drink a little bit of that in the afternoon.
Doesn't Earl Grey have caffeine?
Yeah, but I drink it in the early afternoon.
Okay.
So it's not too late.
Girl mathing it.
It doesn't count as much. But if you make lavender syrup and then you put a little bit of lavender syrup in with your Earl Grey with a little bit of milk or a half an
ounce. Oh, yeah. London Fog.
Yes.
London Fog.
You have a London Fog in your house. So I like those. I like making matcha, but again, that also has caffeine. So you have to be careful. Bedtime, all that kind of stuff. But I like matcha. And then traditional medicinals? I think they're probably one of my favorite just like store-bought tea brands because they're organic. But they have a lot of really good flavor pairings. They have one called Stress Focus that has like wild ginseng, apple, and mint. And it's very good. And the kids like it too. And then I like a cup of peppermint tea.
Yeah.
I like peppermint, mint, all of those things. So that
I have a lot of peppermint right now in my yard if you want some.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. I have an excessive amount of peppermint.
My peppermint, one of them came back. The other one did not, but one of them came back.
Don't you have lemon balm?
I have lemon balm too.
You should do some lemon balm tea.
I should. There was one time I think you accidentally drank some of it. And then you're like, this is delicious. It was in my cup that was here and it looked just like your cup.
Oh.
But I mixed lemon balm and peppermint together. It was VBS week. And you're like, hey, I think I just drank your drink. I'm so sorry, but it's delicious. What is that? And I took lemon balm and peppermint from my backyard and basically just poured hot water over it and let it steep for a while and then added ice.
Yeah.
And it was pretty good.
What is so cool about doing a tea like that is like this feels so natural and medicinal because you are getting the medicinal benefits of the leaves, but then also like the minerals of the plant that is in there in the stem.
Right.
And if you do like a sun tea, you feel all kinds of natural woman powers coming from that. You're like, I've set this out and let the sun's energy beam into it. I made this with my own hands.
In the sunshine.
While wearing a linen apron.
Yeah. But it is so cool, though, when you make sun tea with stuff from your yard. You're like, whoa, that's a whole nother level.
Next level.
Yeah. So I do like doing that, and I hope to do more of that this summer. Kelly from Home Kelly. Did you see her garden tour?
I did.
Oh, man.
I did.
Like, man, that's amazing. She has her sun tea brewing up on the post.
She has
natural woman powers.
Yeah, she does. Yes, she does.
She does. Awesome. But so my coffee alternative that I really like and my family really likes, especially Valor Pup, he loves chai tea lattes. So make a huge batch. Again, this is a venison for dinner recipe. Of their chai tea concentrate. And I love bringing this to women after they just had a baby. But because, again, this feels very medicinal when you make it. You've done it before, right?
Yes.
And you're, like, putting fresh garlic in it, fresh cloves, or whole cloves.
Garlic or ginger?
I'm sorry. Not garlic. Whoa. That'd be gross.
It was like, I don't remember any garlic.
No.
But I was postpartum, so maybe.
Ginger. Not garlic. Fresh ginger, whole cloves, whole cardamom pods, peppercorns. Like, it's just feeling very wholesome when you're making it and nourishing. And then it's sweetened with maple syrup. I put Robias, however you say that. Is that what you use? There's a couple options for the tea, but I like that one because it is caffeine free.
Yes. I've used that one before. Before I had any of that, though, I used just like regular black tea.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would just be sure to drink it in the morning.
Yes.
You know,
again, I get to mention Kelly again, I get the Rubias from her. She sells it. They bring it back from South Africa when they go.
No.
And she sells it. Yeah. And it's in a beautiful little bag. So if you need some, check out hers. But the whole process smells amazing. Your whole house smells amazing. I want to make another batch because we're out right now. And it's sweetened with maple syrup. So it makes like a gallon. Doesn't it make a gallon?
Yes.
So I freeze it in mason jars and then we just get out the concentrate as we need it in the fridge. And then I mix it with half and half or cream or milk, whatever. And I do it in my frother that also heats and has like a little, chai tea latte hot, or you can do it iced and it's really, really lovely.
I remember the first time you brought me that, I think I had just had June. It was either June or Elsie, one of the girls. And you brought me that. And it was like a hug and a mug.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, it's
very good.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then I immediately asked you for the recipe. But I like bringing something like that to a mom.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody, whoever you're bringing a meal to, whatever the situation is, bringing something like that special for them is always really fun. And I feel like is a really sweet touch. I hadn't thought about that until you did that for me and was like, oh, I want to do this more.
Yeah. And it is nice to bring postpartum moms a warm drink just for like keeping the body warm after and for healing and stuff. It actually is beneficial for them too. Not just fun, but it is also very fun and comforting. So
yeah.
What else do you have? That is all of my notes on coffee.
I think we talked about it all. Okay. I did look up my code for 7 weeks and it is just keeping home.
Okay. So either one of those, if you want to try out some 7 weeks coffee, there's a couple discount codes for you. So until next time, go make some simple syrup and invite a friend over for a fancy latte. So thank you for listening.